What's up, everybody?
What is up? Hey, Roman.
What's up, Ray Dog? Hey.
What is up, Roman?
You look like you're somewhere else out of normal.
That's right. I'm in my home studio.
Play us a little keyboard solo. Oh.
It's not on.
Hopefully you all are doing good. Yes. This episode of the podcast, we're going to talk about Stage to Bank. Boom. Maximizing profits from live performances.
You got to do it.
We want you all to bank.
That's right.
And we don't want you just to do the stage. We want you to bank.
and not that it's not important now, but live music, I think there's a huge upside, especially with all this AI stuff. And I mean, actually what we're going to talk about a little later on, live music is going to become more and more valuable, I think, over the next decade.
Yeah, because you ain't making much from streams, so.
Well, and then also, that's the one thing AI can't do, is be live. You know?
Very interesting. But yeah, we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about just the performance side. We're going to talk about, it's kind of alongside of touring, but it's not necessarily just touring. So,
right.
Stay tuned. This will be a series. We have a bunch of topics to cover, so stay tuned throughout. We got some good stuff to talk about. But before we jump in, make sure you go check out forwardproducer.com/ISP. Are you kind of sad, Ray? You're not going to do the little...
Oh, I don't have it.
We're not at the studio anymore.
That's right. Roman's out.
You can still do it.
There you go.
You can still do it. Go check it out. 7 ways to level up your production.
That's right.
Yep. Boom. Yes, go check it out. Let us know what y'all think about it. I'm Rome. This is Ray.
Hey.
We are music producers, industry people. Ray knows a lot about the management side as well.
That's so, right.
You know, we're here to help y'all.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to help you go from stage to bank.
That's exactly right.
We got industry news, right? Go ahead.
Industry news. Okay, this is a good one, y'all. So I was flipping through some articles the other day, and this is what this one said. What if by the end of 2024, there are 1 million streams being uploaded and released every day? Good Lord.
1 million streams crazy? Or 1 million songs?
Well, songs or tracks, however you want to say it. Yeah, tracks. Right now, actually at the beginning of 2023, there was 100,000 a day going up. And I remember I was talking about that on the podcast. Now at the end of 2023, it's 120,000 being uploaded. So if you keep that trajectory, in fact, right now we're at 3 times what we were doing in 2022. So if you keep that trajectory going, by the end of 2024, we should have about 1 million tracks a day being uploaded.
That would be crazy.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not going to reach that high, because I believe, my theory is, something's going to change that it's not going to necessarily need to go that high. I could be wrong.
Okay, what do you think it would be?
I don't know. I think something like, just the same way with CDs and tape and all that stuff, where the medium changes, whatever, it just randomly changes. Something's going to change.
Yeah.
Just think about something like TikTok, where it's turning into a music platform as well.
It is. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So it's nuts.
We'll see. I think your stats more so of like a, in general, music is being put out there. It's not necessarily one platform like a Spotify or something like that, right?
That's correct. It's all of them kind of combined. So if you think about that, you know, YouTube and TikTok and Spotify and Apple and, you know, all the other ones that we don't even talk about ever. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So yeah. So in other words, how do you prepare? What does that mean? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. How does... Actually, well, one of the things that's kind of coming out of it with the article is this. Labels or, you know, music entities, I guess, or content, really becoming a content, you know, company. You know, what they might do is instead of signing an artist, they'll just sign a song, right? Because if there's so, you know, so much of that is being uploaded in a given day, you can use their different AI, you know, technologies and different things that you can see which one is on a trajectory of going up. So then you only sign a song as opposed to just an artist. So, I mean, there's a lot of ramifications for what we're talking about. So, I mean, we could be seeing in the next 18 months, y'all, a drastic shift in the music business, you know, towards technology. It is shifting now. We're not quite sure what we're shifting to, but over the next 5 years, man, it'll be shifted for sure. It'll be completely different.
That's kind of how the music industry's been since I've been alive. You know, stuff is going to change. It could be drastic, or it could be a bunch of little changes to end up the outcome being very drastic, you know?
Yeah, and then
that's why my prediction is that it's not going to be.
And that's exactly what I'm thinking about, like little things here and there over time, you know? I mean, just like, you know, creeping up to a million tracks being uploaded a day. I mean, those are incremental shifts, you know, over 3, 4, or 5 years. Yeah, man.
Crazy. Crazy projections.
That's right.
So let's get into the main talk. We're talking about From Stage to Bank, maximizing profits from live performances. Maximizing them, not just make a little bit, but maximizing them.
Right.
So the first one we have is negotiating performance fees. Negotiation. Go ahead, Ray.
Negotiate. Like, this is really important. So my thing with negotiating fees is you really need to know realistically what your value is. Okay, so what do I mean by that? Okay, if you want to do a club tour, let's say, and you're in a 200 cap room, you need to make sure that you know that you can fill that room in that particular city. You know, because if you know you can, in fact, you might be able to get 250, then you can negotiate a higher term, right? But if the other guy knows where you are more than you are, and you try to get a 200-cap room, and they go, no, we know for a fact, based on XYZ, that you can only pull 100 people tonight, so you're going to get X. So that's why knowing your worth, knowing where you are in the market is really, really important. Because then you can get more money if you know. So instead of if they know, hey, you can only do 100-cap room, then maybe you should go to a 50 cap room. And I know that's small, but maybe go, and you actually might make out better, you know, with merch sales and some of the other things. But also your negotiated fee over the life of a tour, you actually might be better off doing a 50 cap than you would a 200 cap if you know you can only bring in 100. So then just multiply that out, right? Thousands, you know, theaters, arenas, stadiums. It's all kind of the same formula after a while.
Yeah, I think negotiation of the fees and stuff like that would probably, you'd have to have a good overall picture of what it would take to pull off that performance for whatever set venue as well. So like if you're traveling with the band, or if you're coming solo and running tracks or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and we can even talk about like in a management role, you'll have to know that, say the artist, whatever. If it's a newer group, say you're there's a band, a 4-piece band, it's brand new. You just took on these people to manage them, and you're looking to schedule out this performance date.
Okay.
And say the drummer can't make it, so they got to audible, either pull in another drummer. What's that going to cost? You know, or maybe they're going to audible and say, well, just the lead singer is going to go by themselves, or it's going to be acoustic. So you got to have a good overall picture of what to expect whenever you know, you're planning these things out. That way your negotiation isn't like, well, we may have the full band or we may have a solo, because that's going to determine a lot. If you're flying somewhere, that's right. That could potentially be a bunch of plane tickets compared to not so many. So, you know, it's good to have all that information down, the variables figured out. And that will also show to the venue places and wherever you're contacting, you're professional, you're taking it seriously, you're on your A game, you know?
Yeah.
I know with like shooting weddings, this might completely fail for my analogy I'm about to bring forward, but I think it will work. What the last venue I went to, the manager there was on his P's and Q's with everything. Like everything was put together exactly what time should be, blah, 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 everything. And that wedding went really, really, really well. It flowed super smooth. It made everyone's job easier. It made all of the vendors' jobs easier. And in turn, it made the venue's job easier because they knew exactly what to expect. There was nothing that just popped up. Whereas before, I've been to weddings that it's like they don't have a day of coordinator. They don't have a manager. And it turns into like a lot of guesswork and a lot of like wasted time when it should be, you know, the event that's happening is the wedding. It should be celebrated. It should be awesome. So
right.
Having all that stuff figured out is going to make it really good to put the ball in your court negotiating.
Yeah, know your numbers and every part of that for sure.
Well, you could think about too, like we'll talk about merchandise sales later, but it's like I remember traveling and we had to pay for a bag that was packed with merch. In some places, we ship the bag over there. So, you know, there's a bunch of factors that come into play if you're traveling far away or if you're not in your hometown. And then even if you are in your hometown, it's like, all right, you got to know what it's going to cost so that you're actually turning a profit and you're actually going to bank. You're not just going to be on the stage and be upset.
Yeah, exactly.
So the next one we have is strategic touring. I'll start with this one and I'll pass it to you, Ray. So I come from the ministry background of touring, where it was like we would go to churches and we would tour at local churches, basically. So a lot of times that stuff wouldn't go really well and it would eventually cost money. It would be the newer places that we haven't been, that we didn't know about, that, you know, is kind of just an oddball contact that was like, okay, we're over here. Okay, we've been to this state. We've been to this city. We don't really know this place, but they want us out, and we could eventually, you know, book a little tour around it. And we would go there, and it was kind of out of the normal for us. And typically those times that would happen, it was nice that we got to go there and do what we do there at their church, but at the same time it's more taxing on finances, on time. And we'll talk a little bit about my story later to kind of drive this point home. But whenever it's more strategic and it's like, okay, we're gonna do a tour and we've been to all four of these places, it's kind of like you're touring your hometown. You know the people, you go there, it's all familiar faces, it's like a place that you've stayed before, the hotel, you know what to expect, all that sort of stuff. It drastically changes what the outcome is after you end up leaving that area. Go ahead, Ray. I'll pass it to you.
Well, yeah, that's awesome, man. The only thing I would add on, you know, strategically touring and being obviously strategic about how you route your tour and where you're going, because what you really want to do, kind of similar to what we were talking about with knowing your numbers and, you know, what size caps and all those types of things, you need to know where your fans are. Okay, so there's a lot of great geo-targeting data, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. They have all of this geo-targeting data on there. So be strategic about, you know, where you're going. Make sure that your people are there. And mm-hmm. there's all these free tools out there now that mean you can get really, really surgical about where you're going and really maximize profit that way. Because especially, let's say you go to a place that's super hot, you know, where a lot of your fans are, and, you know, it's a really good market for you, man, you can bump up your merch, maybe about a few dollars, you know, make a little bit of extra money. on your merch, make a little bit of extra money on, I mean, lots of other things that if you're really, you know, strategic about it, and use those tools out there, you can actually maximize profit in a pretty big way.
Yep. You're talking about merch. That brings us to our next point.
Oh, merch.
I had early on when I would go out and travel, I was responsible for bringing the merch. So that's how I knew about like potentially needing to pay for the luggage, the extra luggage, or shipping it out there, or keeping inventory and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But merch sales, that's like not only the way that I would tour, that would bring like immediate money in, but for bands that are like smaller and more like independent artists or borderline independent, they're like, I guess, what is that, semi-independent, where they're doing a tour and they're in the van by themselves. Sometimes they would not eat unless they had some good merch sales. So being strategic around that and like figuring out, you know, making sure you have enough merchandise, making sure that the stuff you have is what people want. You know what I mean? And that could go into play with asking your fans, you know, what do you want to see? I guess this shirt that we designed from as a band is not selling, but what do you all want to see? What do you all want to buy? You know, stuff like that. And that would be huge if you find ways to optimize it, like Amazon. Like, think about Amazon. They're like all about logistics and all this stuff and statistics and how to increase profits and all this sort of stuff. If you're able to kind of go and, I guess, nitpick at what your merch sales are doing and see your stats and figure out what works best, that could really boost up your revenue as far as merch sales the same way Amazon does it.
Yeah, for sure. And then don't forget, typically when we think of merch, we think of live shows. But man, nowadays, you know, you can have a completely, you know, complete online business. You know what I mean? That all your merch stuff is, you know, completely online. I mean, yes, you want to take some out for touring, you know, so they can get the visceral reaction of the, oh, I was there, you know, look at the cap I bought. But also, man, if you have a good email campaign, you know, and then and you're pushing a different type of merch every week, you know, or, you know, some kind of, I don't know, incentive, you know, buy a ticket, get an online product for free, or, you know, just something like that. You know, there are lots of ways to kind of do merch now, but don't, you know, my encouragement is don't forget the whole online part of it. You just don't have to sell merch just at the venue. You know, you can go do it online and go berserker.
Yeah, I was thinking too, as you were talking about that, like, I would venture to say and even predict if you are an artist, if you're going from an artist standpoint or even a management standpoint, managing an artist, if you were to get vinyls printed out, if you were to get tapes printed out, even A-tracks or whatever, different stuff like that where it's tangible with your music on there, that stuff would sell because a lot, like what we see is, as what I've seen is in my generation, previous generations, and generations to come, and like the younger generation, typically there's like this swing of dynamic of like, we don't want super physical stuff, like us, like millennials, we're in a digital age, and then the generation before us was all about it, you know, and now the generation after us, we'll see what we're doing is not cool or whatever, and they want something tangible, or they want something vintage that is like that. Because if you think about, like, I'm in my studio now, and I'm looking at this guitar on the wall here that was made in Japan, and at the time, if you had a Fender, and you looked at someone with a Japanese guitar, and you're like, dang, that's not that cool, you know, but years later now, I have this thing, it has the tone in it, it has the look for it, and it's like, man, I want it, you know, so I think the same thing, I'm predicting the same thing is happening even now with vinyl, because we know vinyl sales have increased, we talked about it, but I think if you had some merch, like a tape, I would buy a band's tape, you know what I mean, like Coldplay come like through here, they got their tapes printed out of their latest record, I'm buying that tape, you know.
Dude, you mentioned 8-tracks. Are they? Can you even make an 8-track anymore? You need an 8-track player. Clue. That's hilarious. I think that's awesome.
No, maybe stick to tape and vinyl.
But you're absolutely right, man. That is something nostalgic that people, you know, will gravitate to, and that, you know, they will buy it. And there's a lot of data proving that too. So, boom.
Yep. Yes, sir. And we got let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We have about another 7 more points that we're going to turn this into a series about stage to bank. So stay tuned on the next ones. But I have a story to tell about, you know, I said it was about relating to touring. So a lot of times we'd fly out and we'd fly commercial. So it wasn't like Ray. We didn't have people rubbing our feet as we'd fly. And I'm just kidding. But anyways,
champagne,
we'd fly out, but
champagne.
Then... right. But we'd fly out and there would be whatever weather, there'd be technical issues where stuff would get delayed. And, you know, I remember one time exactly that I was in like a northeastern state. I forgot which one, but I was up there and I was like, man, I need to get home to my wife. You know, I got to get home. And the flight was just canceled, straight up canceled, because I guess some weather or something flying into Dallas where we connect or something like that, something crazy. And I was like, well, I'm supposed to be home today. It was already morning time. So I talked to the gate agent and I was like, well, what can we do? She's like, well, we could fly you somewhere else, but you're not going to get home tonight. I was like, wait, you could fly me somewhere else? She's like, yeah, because you're going to have a connection flight anyways. So I was like, all right, let me think. And I said, can you fly me to Miami? Because my wife's family lives in Miami. So I was like, I might as well make the best out of this and go visit my wife's family. Didn't cost me nothing. I was either going to stay in a hotel overnight at some place I don't know about, or I could catch a flight to Miami and then connect the following morning home.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, cool. So I ended up flying to Miami. Mila's family had no clue. I just showed up, knocked on their door. And it was a good time, but you know, like that kind of drives the point home of being strategic with touring, because if you think about, like, you got to kind of factor in that sort of stuff. If it does happen, if a flight gets canceled, like, what are you going to do?
Yes.
Are you going to potentially drive someplace? Like, we've did that before too, that it was like a pretty near place that we ended up booking a flight, like a connecting flight, but that flight was canceled, so we had to get a rental. You know, so just stuff to think about, that there's so many variables involved with stage performance and how to optimize it and how to make it profitable. Like, keeping inventory with merchandise is one of the basic things that you could do to make sure that stuff's not getting lost, or people aren't stealing it, or someone's just giving it away, you know? So
exactly.
That's my story of travel.
That's a good story.
We took a lemon and made lemonade, I guess.
That's right.
But yeah, so make sure you go check out forwardproducer.com/ISP. And if y'all could like, share, comment, subscribe, rate, that would help us out greatly. And if you're getting any value out of any of this stuff, let us know. It means a lot. We put a lot of time and effort to putting this show together for y'all. So until next time, peace out.
Peace out, y'all.